Hi, welcome to the Berry Nation podcast, where we support the bariatric community with humor, humility, and honesty. I'm April.
I'm Natalie, and today we are joined by a very special guest, Daryl Perry. Hi.
Hi, nice to be here with you guys.
I'm so glad to have you. Daryl and I go way back. When the way back time machine, we became friends back in 2017 when I first started pursuing bariatric surgery for the third time, and we connected on Instagram. We became great friends. When I was denied by insurance, then I fell off the Instagram planet, if you will. Came back. Right, getting ready for VSG, and Daryl and I connected again. And it took us another 3 years, 3 year and three and change,
Yes, we have
before I got
exactly.
back on.
No, we and I think that just kind of goes to show a lot of the stuff we talk about, people kind of have this immediate focus. We have been playing the long game. That's gonna be something I think that we tie back to, but yeah, definitely.
Definitely. And Daryl invited me on his podcast. Which is going to be releasing here in a few weeks, and we'll make sure that we mention all of the good stuff everywhere you can find it at the end and in the show notes. But I am so excited to have you, Daryl, here with April and I. Before we dive in, can you give us a little bit about yourself?
Sure. So basically, everything with me, content-wise, whether it's mindset, health and fitness, being comfortable in your own skin, it's basically an extension of my life. So professionally, I've had two careers that have kind of been working in tandem for almost 20 years at this, 20 years at this point, which is working in the fitness industry. I've done a little bit of everything, and then I've also been a marketer, and I see how the fitness and weight loss and beauty industries market against our insecurities, and I don't like that. So I'm taking charge up against that. So yeah, that's everything. I eat, drink, breathe this stuff 24/7.
You were a huge motivator for me 7 years ago and continue to be an inspiration to me today, which is why I'm really excited for this conversation. And we're going to be diving into mental health. We're going to be diving into movement because we are finding, the three of us are finding that those two go very hand in hand. So we're going to dive deeper into that. And I say we do it. Are you ready to dive in?
Let's do it.
All right. So, Daryl, what have you found along your own wellness journey, to be kind of a correlation, I guess, between mental health and movement?
Right. So really, everything that comes from how we see ourselves on the outside comes from how we see ourselves on the inside. So being able to connect with yourself, and then really kind of getting a sense of what's going on with your body, which exercise really helps with that. I think a lot of times people will think, okay, I want to connect myself. I'll go to the gym. I'll lift weights. I'll do some cardio. But really, if you think about it with yoga, that's something where you're holding poses and you're still in your own thoughts and your own mind. So, really it's that there's an inside out connection. And then I think all of us can attest that we just feel our thoughts are maybe a little bit more focused. Maybe mentally we feel a little bit more clear when we've been exercising regularly. So it's definitely movement and mindset are they work hand in hand.
I've certainly noticed that when I am more consistent with my movement, everything just feels better, including, what I'm thinking, my clarity of thought, my ability to kind of relax at the end of the night, which I wasn't necessarily expecting. And I really did notice I was on a 45 or 46 day movement streak. It was also changing my ability to catch my negative thoughts. Or my negative self-talk, I could catch it more easily. As Laura Graba, one of our experts, says, I could catch it, I could check it, and I could change it. And I don't know if that's just me getting a little further along my journey, but I really do attribute it to movement. It was like more things were moving inside of me and moving out, and I just had more space and capacity to kind of focus on that mindset piece that maybe was unrelated to movement.
I think that makes a lot of sense. And I want to call out what you just said, because even if you think of all the thoughts we have in a day, who knows how many hundreds or thousands, right? But like, if you actually are able to take a moment and step back and catch yourself and redirect your thinking, and what a huge victory that actually is. And there's also, I'm not a huge, like, I don't follow a lot of the motivational accounts, but one person I do like is Tim Grover, who worked with Michael Jordan and worked with Kobe Bryant. And he has this thing where he says it's called finding the victories every day. So one instance like that, and it's crazy. You catch something like that once, you start catching your thoughts a little bit more and a little bit more, and it changes your whole perspective. And I think exercise, yeah, I think what you described, I've experienced too, which is through movement, it almost slows things down in your mind to where you can like take things in and move a little bit more deliberately. So yeah, I love that. I agree too.
Hey friends, it's April, and I want to welcome Dive Bar Nutrition to the Berry Nation family. They are official sponsor of the Berry Nation podcast, and we are thrilled to have Professor Phil and his team on board. Jason, Natalie, and I have been enjoying Dive Bars for years because they taste amazing, they have great macros, and they are really built to help us succeed. Dive Bar Nutrition is just launching a new bariatric friendly called Dive Bar Bites. They're the mini versions of their best-selling bars, and they're caffeine-free. You can buy a Dive Bar Madness kit and discover what flavor is your favorite. Head to Dive Bar Nutrition right now, get that Dive Bar Madness kit, and join us to crown your favorite Dive Bar flavor at the end of March. And don't forget to use code BERRYNATION when you check out to get 22% off your order.
We were just talking for another podcast episode about walking and movement, and I really, as our guest was talking, I could think about when I'm walking, when I'm moving my body intentionally, I'm actually able to, like you said, kind of sort things out in my brain. Like, oh, this goes here and this goes here. And I feel like I have that capacity to really slow down and actually process what is going on in my life, my brain. Which is a mindset piece that I, for almost 30 years, didn't have at all. I didn't have that tool. Was there a moment that got you to say, okay, I need to switch up what I'm doing and utilize movement as a tool?
Yeah. So, and this will spill into the mental health stuff. And Natalie, with the conversation you and I had, which we went into this deep dive about therapy, and I'm a huge, huge advocate for, but I started really unraveling a lot of stuff in my life, stuff that was packed away. And it actually came from just going out and walking and being outside, listening to nature as I'm walking in a neighborhood. And once your thoughts in your head, I think it's, and you probably experienced this too, if you for 30 years didn't really know you had the skill, at first your emotions just wash over you. And it's actually, for me, it was very intense, but I found if I hung with it, and I think for me, after a few weeks, I started to have more, just the calmness in my head while I was out doing that. And I really just started to look forward to it. So yeah, I think as far as that was where it was real pivotal to me, where it went from, we all hear about, well, we got to move for weight loss and weight management. And then some people will use other things that still come off as buzzwords as, well, this is for longevity. I think when I started incorporating those walks in that way, it became more of this inside out process. It was a prime example of that, of everything that we're talking about here.
One of the biggest aha moments I took away from my maybe two decades with Weight Watchers was I was at one of my, whatever would they call them, workshops, meetings. And the leader said, weight loss happens in the kitchen. Fitness happens in the gym. And it was in that moment my world split apart, because for my entire life, I had connected weight loss and movement. And right, movement was like a punishment. And it was like, oh, if you ate something bad or you overindulged, then you needed to work it off at the gym. There was no joy for me there. But when I realized the two are very much separate, right? Mm-hmm. It almost like made space in my life to move in ways that I wanted to move, not for punishment or for, you know, like penance for like something that I felt like I had done wrong, but because I just wanted to, and I wanted to do something different. And we so equate still though movement and weight loss, right? Or weight maintenance. And on some level, yeah, okay. But really on the larger, they're not really related.
So this, you touched on a lot of really good stuff there. One, not only are we equating to exercise as punishment for things that we ate, but you also get into that the other side of that, which is I've worked out, I've earned this meal. And yeah. So you have that. Now, the other thing that you said where it's like, it's so simple. And like, when you think about it, you're like, oh my gosh, this is so simple and straightforward. These two things are not connected. Well, but then you look at the entire, like, man, if you think about weight loss and how early on we start getting these messages, yes, the evil marketers who make those messages so snappy and direct, and you hear them all the time and you're like, oh yeah, move more, eat less, makes sense. Calories in, calories out. Like, you hear them all the time and they're so snappy, but then you're like, you don't question things until you start putting the puzzle pieces together. That wait, these complement each other, but they are two separate things. And the decisions I make on one shouldn't impact the other. You should look at them very separate. So yeah, a lot of, yeah. Oh, that could be a few rants on its own. We'll, but yeah, I'm with you.
Yeah, we talk all the time in Berry Nation, on the podcast, in the support community, about this all or nothing thinking. And what a lot of these marketers that you talk about, they're feeding into that, right? Eat less, move more, you know, fitness is in the kitchen, or fitness is in the gym, weight loss is in the kitchen. It's like, well, if it was that simple, everyone would be doing it, right? There are life factors, there are medical factors. Obesity as a chronic disease is a factor. Mm-hmm. And I just love what you said about, if it was that simple, basically, then we would all be doing it. Truly.
Yeah. Well, and it's funny because it's like, and social media has really amplified this, because what you just mentioned, context is everything. So as a statement, do you need to be in a calorie deficit in the long term? Sure. Can we even debate, like, for me, and the other thing is, you know, we like to make absolute points and we like to look at things in absolutes. And one of the first things that I learned from a marketing side when it comes to calories is the numbers on the packages are estimates. Then if you eat something, how it reacts in our body, we don't absorb, like, we each absorb a different amount, a percentage of those calories. So we have these things that we, as people, we want absolute things. We want absolute messages on how to do something. Tell me what to do and I'll do it. But there's so much nuance that's involved. And then, oh, by the way, when we're talking about eating and exercise, these things that we're going to do separately, because normally you're not going to see somebody on a treadmill eating their lunch at the same time. Hopefully they're not trying to be that productive. But, you know, like, these are things that we're going to be doing for the rest of our lives. These aren't just activities to hit a number on the scale. These are things that we have to build a relationship with. And that relationship starts with how we view ourselves, which again is how all this stuff is connected.
Hey, this is April, one of your hosts. If the Berry Nation podcast has made a positive impact on your life, become a supporter. For $5 a month, you can help us produce this podcast. Your support would mean the world to us. Visit us online at berrynationpodcast.com to learn more. I was intrigued too when, in the beginning of this episode, when you said you have a lot of experience in that marketing. Mm-hmm. Will you share with us, like, what are some marketing strategies or marketing techniques that you have seen these fitness companies utilize that maybe are not serving us in the best way?
Oh my gosh, April wants to start an entirely new podcast. theories with me. Okay. So let's talk about the big one. The big one is, hey, not only are you deemed successful when you lose weight, but it's going to be how fast you lose the weight. So what they're doing from a marketing standpoint, let's get people to focus on the things that are not within their control. So you can do actions that will lead to you eventually, your body is going to say, hey, okay, you know what? We're going to balance some things out. Now, again, you've got to have the context of lifestyle factors, hormones, all kinds of stuff play into that. But your body, in many cases, will start to move in the direction it wants to move if you're just doing these things. But you can't control. There is not a lose 20 pounds program. Like, if I follow this, I'm going to lose 20 pounds. And to amp that up, let's make it seem like you're more successful if you do all this within a certain period of time. Why are they telling us to focus on something that we can't control? Because if we feel like we can control something that we really can't, and then we can't get those results, we are primed to buy
it's
the
next fault. Thing.
Yeah, it's our fault. And we want the answer and we want the solution. So the entire weight loss industry, the scale number is a byproduct of everything that you do. And what I've seen, because I have not had bariatric surgery, but I've worked with clients that have, and I know a lot of folks within the different communities. And one of the most heartbreaking things in all areas of weight loss is you have people that have been trying to hit these numbers their entire life. Like, their worth in many cases has been tied to hitting a number on the scale. They've tried this program, that program. They think it's going to do it for them. Then they finally hit the number and they realize, oh my gosh, they're happy about it, but it's fleeting. It doesn't give them the type of fulfillment that they thought it would. And then they're back at square one. And even then, if they've hit a number that was a target number that was set by their doctor and their team that they're working with, in their head, if they don't feel any different, what are they going to try to do? Well, I just need to lose 5 more pounds. I just need to lose 10 more pounds. It's this vicious cycle. And there's actually another thing that marketing really does well, if you're telling the story right, is, you know, it's called, every customer's on a journey, or there's buying cycles. Well, the diet industry is so good at this that they will have you either thinking about starting a plan or being one decision away, whether it's a side glance in a mirror, or, you know, maybe you try on clothes from last year to where, oh my gosh, I need to lose weight. And then you instantly think of either the program you've been successful with or that new one that you've heard. So you're either if you're not constantly on the diet roller coaster, you're really one thought away. And what we've seen now is there's a lot of people that have just been dieting their entire life, like going on and off of this stuff. Exactly. Yeah. So
you hit the nail on the head, Daryl. And I know you and I have talked about this many times over the years. And that's why, you know, April, Jason and I April and Jason started the podcast. We started Bari Nation, was to show people who are bariatric patients and now with anti-obesity medications and all of that, to show them, like, this isn't a diet. This is a way of living. This is the cycle breaking that we all need, that those marketing tools are trying to show us we need to continue that cycle. We're trying to break it. Sorry, my thoughts just got jumbled, but it truly is eye-opening when we have these conversations to realize, oh, I've made this huge lifestyle change, bariatric surgery, anti-obesity medications, whatever, and I'm still chasing the thing. I'm still chasing the newest product, protein shakes, whatever, when really, in reality, if I stay true to what I know, right, eating whole foods, moving my body, having a mindset that can help me move forward and leaning on community, then I should be good, right? But we're so conditioned through marketing, through these diets and all of that to pursue more, when it's really, we just need to have less.
And this is something that's very interesting for all of us on this call. Even you know, just half of our life, we didn't have all of this technology. And then the second half up till now, I mean, the last 20 years, it has been light speed, constantly advancing. And then, I mean, the messaging on advertising is the same. The problem is now it is in your face constantly. Sometimes it's direct advertisements. Other times it's, of course, on social media, paid partnerships, but other times it's just, it's there in the background. It's just there kind of humming along. And there's so many messages. There's so many reasons to, or so many opportunities to kind of just scroll and escape and really being present. Again, I love this because we keep coming back to the same central theme. Being present and being connected with who you are is a very challenging thing to do. But honestly, I think with all the stuff that we have talked about, because there are so many different options out there and everything's a toolbox. And, you know, some tools are, everybody's trying to find the right mix and, you know, use the tools that work for you. But again, like being centered with who you are and coming back to square one with that, I think is really helpful. But I mean, it is a, you know, this is my, I'm big on trying to come up with solutions on things. So one of the podcasts that I have under the Your Level Fitness brand is like, it's literally how to make it a lifestyle. Like that's the whole thing. It's a short 5-minute episode. These are like little short tidbits where what I'm trying to do with that is just reinforce things. Things that if you think about it, you're like, oh yeah, I know that. But when you're doom scrolling or whatever else, you kind of get lost. But I mean, there's these things that keep coming up. They're like, well, you got to make it a lifestyle. You got to make it a lifestyle. Yeah, but nobody really tells you how to do that. So, you know, trying to find solutions here.
Dude, yes. The other day, I don't know if I was in Arizona or I was home, but I was not in a great headspace and I went on to Instagram and felt like I was being shamed and judged for whatever I wasn't doing and comparing and just all this stuff. And I was like, oh God, this is just everything. Yeah, whatever. Right. I was like, no, this is not good. And I went over to Google. That's where my news feed is. And I started scrolling and a headline kind of stopped me in my tracks. And it was something about like, if you do these 7 habits, right, you're going to lose a bunch of weight. And I remember I opened up the article and instantly just felt like rage screaming. And I couldn't put my finger, I couldn't name why I was so ragey about it, but you just said it. It's because that entire article was about things that were absolutely out of my control, was nowhere anywhere close to helping me better understand the disease of obesity or how to treat the disease of obesity. But it was, again, just selling me a bunch of crap that I as a person had zero control over. And I was like, oh yeah, yeah, because that's going to work for me because I can run 5 miles. I mean, it was just like, I just got so rage cagey and it just really solidified for me what you also said, Nat. For somebody that's lived in diet culture that has attempted to live in a smaller body my entire life and being desperate, absolutely desperate for answers, even though I already have the answer, and it was bariatric surgery and it's medication, I have our 4 pillars of bariatric success that I eat, sleep, live, and breathe. And that's movement, mindset, metabolic wellness, and community. I was amazed at how quickly social media and marketers could pull me away from my own pillars and convince me that none of that, all the things that I've been doing for the last 4.5 years are actually going to help. It was like a 10-minute window. And I was like, oh my God, what is, I mean, it was the most scary thing ever. But I think we all experience this. This isn't a me thing. This happens to all of us.
This actually ties in really well with what we were talking about before when you were talking about exercise and how you're able to slow down and bring your thoughts back to center. What you just said is correct. You absolutely, you know, you can be pulled back in an instant. And, you know, for me, I look at this and I say, so everybody gets pulled into it. Doesn't matter who you are. If you have a history of trying to be in a smaller body or, you know, and like it can pull you back after years, after decades. And the big thing is trying to pull yourself put, you know, bring yourself back to center. And because we've seen it on social media, most have probably posted it. You get into the, you have that 10 minute window that leads to a couple of hours, that leads to a food episode, and that leads to a, maybe that leads to a couple days, a couple weeks, whatever. And then all of a sudden you're posting on Instagram how you've been off of your plan and your routine for however long. And you're, you know, the thing for me is I want folks to be able to separate the choices they make around eating and exercise, which again, I love how you say it. These are two separate things. They should not, it's like showering and brushing your teeth. They're not connected, but they're very important to do. And you don't feel any guilt around when you do or not do them, you know? Right. So, but not having guilt around the choices that we make when it comes to food. And the other thing is we're talking about the marketers, and this is really, I get surly online when I see that I'm not connected with that many fitness coaches and personal trainers anymore, because I feel like a lot of the content that they make is for other fitness professionals because they're talking at people. And this is the biggest pet peeve that I have. So you have mentioned a lifetime of trying to live in a smaller body. You know the diets inside and out. And I'm sure if I said, hey, April, do you know what the top diet of 2005 was, you could probably be like, yeah, it was the South Beach diet. You know, like you can equate the diet trends by the years or a couple of years tied together. And I feel like a lot of times when they make these condescending statements, like, you know, exercise, do this type of exercise, eat, you know, only these foods, they're talking at people. Talking at people would make sense if we were logical. None of us are logical, especially around the relationship we have with eating, exercise, and ultimately ourselves. Like, we're so emotional.
Hey, this is April. Jason, Nat, and I love making this podcast for you each and every week, but we need your help to keep it going. Become a Berry Nation podcast supporter for $5 a month and help us produce this show. Visit us online at berrynationpodcast.com to join us.
I'm glad you brought that up too. I always say, I heard someone say it years ago, but the most educated people on how to eat well are obese people, bigger bodied people. We know how to do it. It's the emotion and all of the other factors that, for lack of better terms, get in the way of that. And I'm imagine myself scrolling, like April said, you know, you get on an article or maybe you watch a TikTok or a reel and you get into that headspace. Daryl, how do you get out of it? How do you snap out of it? What's something that you've used to kind of say, no, this isn't real?
Right.
What am I going to do to better myself?
So the blanket answer is what we've talked about, which is being connected with yourself. Now, what really helps me with that on a daily basis is journaling. And when I journal, I voice to text on my phone and I'll basically give my, whatever's on my mind. It could be fitness related. It could be relationship related. It could be anything. And whatever's on my mind, I will just start there. And so that helps. And I might only do it for a couple of minutes, but it works. The other thing I do is I will stand in front of a mirror for a minute and I will just talk myself down on things. I do the positive self statements for a minute every day. I don't really have mantras because it's kind of one of those things where whatever is on my mind, I want that to be what I'm talking about. I know sometimes when people do gratitude lists, they want you to do the list, but you can't say you're grateful for the same things 2 days in a row. I don't, if I talk about the same thing 2 days in a row, it means it was on my mind. The other thing I'll do is if I'm not going out for a walk, I will sit out on my deck and just, it really, it's disconnecting from whatever's in front of me. And let's be honest, typically the stuff that's getting us in this headspace is a screen, whether it's our phone or a laptop or whatever. So it's like just walking away from that thing for a few minutes.
What I realized I well no what I did do is after I had my rage cage moment with all of that, I kind of did exactly what you recommended. I put my phone down and I stepped away and I just asked myself, like, why am I so angry? I need to like unpack this anger so that I can see, like, is it valid? Am I off? Am I thinking, like, what is going on here? And I too turned to journaling. I just did it in the Berry Nation membership community. That really has become my safe place for me to just get my thoughts out up here. My thoughts might not be organized. They might not make sense, might not be logical. They might not even be accurate. But if I have a safe place to go, this is why I'm so ragey right now, or this is what I'm thinking. And to have a supportive community to go, oh, I've actually thought that before. I've noticed that. Or, oh, I haven't experienced that, right? It creates this dialogue for us to safely move this stuff out, because it can be really triggering and it's all around us. And that algorithm is driving things to our eyes and our ears that are not necessarily helpful, right? They're keeping us stuck in this kind of like valley of despair, but we're the ones walking into the valley every single day. It's like, oh my God, something's got to change here.
Well, and that's, I think things, I actually think while we're all being hit with algorithms, I think what you do with Berry Nation, and I do this with YLF as well, is you start having your own sandbox. You get out of the noise of social media. Yes, you're on social media because you gotta be, because everybody's there. But when you're putting out messages that are counter to all of this, all the stuff that we've talked about, that we've been hit with, that we're pelted with repeatedly, you know, if you're not going to get lost in the scroll, you have to create your own safe place. I think that's where a lot of people are headed with social media. I think, and this is just kind of I think more of what's old is new. So I think people are doing more community. It's not necessarily like old days of message boards and stuff like that, but it's what you just described with journaling within the community. That is a very message board-esque type thing. I think we're going back to the older type of internet where social media is something that we have, but everything that the three of us have described, it's not really good for our headspace. So we're coming up with solutions.
Well, it's the difference between social media and a social network, right? Social media's goal is to project right information outwards, whereas the goal of a network is to connect you with other people and ideas and things that would actually serve you. It's you seeking out those connections instead of right media throwing everything it possibly has at you at once. There is a very big difference to those two things. You know, we always get members of our community asking for like very prescriptive or prescribed movement stuff.
Yeah.
And we have always stayed away from that because, just from my own personal experience, and I know from a lot of other personal experience, when you commit to like a program, some really prescribed program, and it gets difficult or it gets challenging or it surpasses your level or your ability, you start to feel really negative. You start to feel down on yourself. And for us, the goal of movement is not to be prescribed. The goal of movement is that everybody finds ways in which they want to move. Mm-hmm. And then you go do it, right? So the goal of movement is that you practice movement on a daily basis or as often as you can in a way that is accessible to you now. Not what was accessible to you 20 years ago, not what you hope is accessible to you, you know, 5 years from now, but in this very moment, today. What can you do today that's above and beyond how you normally move? I don't want to tell you what to do. I want to give you the space to explore that for yourself.
So this is where I'm glad you brought this up, because the regimented prescribed workout is one of the most overrated pieces of information you will find in the fitness industry. And it's, you've got these. Now, again, if you're a performance athlete and you are working with a performance coach and you are making your living based on being 0.00001% better than the next guy, yeah, you need to have optimal workouts They have to be tailored to you. But for everybody else, it's exactly what you just said. If you found what was working for you, and if you want to get more specific, figure out how you can mix in something that's going to help with resistance so that you're able to do more day-to-day activities, have the strength to do day-to-day activities as you move through life, your endurance, whatever that ends up being, so you can go out for longer walks, and your flexibility and mobility. You don't have to do all those every day, but if you're just mixing those in and you're starting with what you're able to do and what you're willing to do. And that seems to be something in the fitness, the online fitness spaces, it's not okay to mention that, you know what, sometimes you're not going to want to work out. And by the way, sometimes you're going to choose not to work out. And I'll tell you, every time I see a Never Miss a Monday post, I'm like, I'm going back to bed because I'm going to prove you wrong. Like, there are no hard fixes. Do what's best for you.
And that's just it. I mean, we were just talking to Laura Grabo this morning for another episode. And, you know, she walked every single day for a year. She made that promise to herself. And she said something very profound that's still rattling in my brain as, what is your baseline on your worst day? What is the threshold that you can meet? And as someone with obesity, who is an overachiever, ADHD, neurodivergent, I hold myself all the way up here. And so when I don't miss that mark, I get really down on myself. I think, man, I didn't walk for an hour today. It's like, man, an hour? That's a long time to be walking. And it's like, yeah, that's great if I can do it. But sometimes 10 minutes, if that's what you can give, 10 minutes is great. Intentionally moving your body for that amount of time at your baseline, at your worst days. And I think where we are going in the weight loss space, in the anti-obesity medicine space, really is, what is your baseline? What is the bare minimum that you can give? Make that your goal. And if you surpass that, like, wow, hell yeah. And if you meet it, hell yeah, you know, that's great. But these, I agree, the Never Miss a Monday, or, you know, like, our goals don't sleep, all of those like hashtags, you know, they just set, for me, they set those goals that are just, they feel unattainable. And I think it's time to take it back.
Yeah, I think it is. Well, and this is, this is a very common topic, and I'm sure you guys cover it a lot, but it's really hard just by looking, and this is what you see on social media, on somebody's appearance, what their relationship with all this stuff is underneath, you know, because they don't normally put, they'll have their starting weight, their goal weight, current weight. They don't say like current headspace, right? So a lot of times it's transferring the habits that they used to have, they're transferring it over to exercise. And this can be a way to transfer what they used to do over to something new, or, I mean, they're just using it as a way to avoid things in their life. I like what you're saying, because see, what you're talking about is starting where you are, do what you can, and setting your goals up in a way. I actually used to do these a lot with my clients, where we would have minimum daily actions. So if I have watched you if we've been working together for 3 or 4 months, and you have no problem hitting a 30-minute a day workout routine, we're going to set your minimum daily action for 20 minutes a day. What you're doing is you're getting used to this, to exceeding your goals. There's going to be times where instead of your normal 30, which is on a goal of 20 that you're exceeding, you do 45 minutes to an hour, but you're getting this baseline. And the baseline is, the foundation is the stuff that people were never really taught around fitness and weight loss. And that's actually one of my core messages, is you would be surprised if you just stuck with your baseline and pushed yourself outside of it some of the time, how consistent you would be, how enjoyable this stuff would be big picture. You're not going to love every moment of every day. I like to use 85% as a nice arbitrary number that, like, if I'm in a positive headspace 85% of the time, or I'm doing something 85% of the time, that's good enough for me, because nothing in life is all or nothing. But yeah, I'm with you on all this stuff.
What did you call that again?
Minimum daily actions. And
okay.
Yeah. So that's basically looking at what you're already doing, because you're getting very specific on the actual information you have. You're basically looking at yourself as a experiment, and then you're setting goals underneath that as your baseline, which is what you guys are talking about. And then you would tie those into how many times a week are you doing this? So we're already building, we're saying that this is something you're thinking about daily, but if you exceed it, if you do at least, instead of saying, okay, if I want you to do 4 of these a week, how am I going to word this? Do at least 3 of these. So we're already in the wording. Everything we're wording is you're exceeding. And some people would look at that as, well, we're setting goals too low. No, we're not. We're getting somebody that has been chasing weight loss their entire life, that feels like they're running after the train. We're getting them running alongside or running ahead. We're changing the way that they view all this.
So my question to you, because my high achiever brain kicked in and I was like, all right, what if my minimum daily activity is 1 minute?
Okay. Then if you're doing 1 minute, then we're going to say 30 seconds. And so when you start doing these workouts that are 1 minute, or you have one where you've done it for 2 minutes, you're finding the victories again. Like, and it's really, I'm so glad that you said it like that, because you can scale this however you want. You just look at whatever number is and you go below it. Well, you're giving me an exercise goal of 30 seconds a day. Yeah. How many days have you done that 1 minute workout? Well, in the last 2 weeks, I've done it twice. Okay, cool. So doing 30 minutes at least 4 days a week, we're looking, we talk about incremental progress all the time. Start where you are, do what you can. So,
and this is a point I want to make, because so myself included, so I'm speaking to me, but I know I'm speaking to millions of other people. I would get so down on myself, because it's like, I'm only doing a minute of activity. We put so much shame and judgment on that time that's connected to movement and activity, and that takes the joy away from it, and it inserts shame where shame doesn't belong. Shame never motivates. If we want to look at what will actually motivate us, it's this. It's really, and it's being honest with ourselves about where we're at. Sure, you maybe ran marathons in your 20s. You're 50 now, and you have been battling disease of obesity for 20 years, and you got bad knees and 2 kids and a mortgage. And, you know, like, okay, you are not 20 anymore. It doesn't really matter what you did in your 20s. What matters is what you are doing now to move your body in meaningful ways. And if you don't start where you're at, and if you don't work so hard to eliminate that shame and that time bias, it's going to be really difficult to move forward. You're just going to stay stuck in that shame, and you're not going to do anything. If you are ready to do something, this is a phenomenal pathway forward.
Yes. And I think the other thing that I would add to it is, when you're ready to do it, you'll do it. So all of those times where you're like, where you're scrolling social media and you've got XYZ influencer yelling at you on what you should do and what you shouldn't do, and you're like, I should probably do that, but I don't want to. And then you start feeling guilty. At some point, you're just gonna be like, you know what? Today's the day I'm gonna do it. And you'll decide you're gonna do
it. And that's the base of this conversation, is just, when you're ready, you'll do it. Mm-hmm. Find the wins, I think, is a huge one. We are so afraid as a society. It's not just an obesity thing. We are afraid as a society to hit the wins. And I don't know where that came from, but we're terrified of just winning and just allowing ourselves to have those wins. And I think that these tools that you brought forward, Daryl, are so valuable. And I hope that if you're listening or watching, that you can start finding the wins.
Daryl, this conversation has been amazing. It's the first opportunity that I've got to meet with you and hang out with you. And I am inspired and I am blown away. And I feel really good about the work that I've done. And I know so many of us have done in the community. What you're saying is the message that we are trying to carry forth. And we're just so excited that there are professionals like you out there in the world that are going to help us get there.
I think it's a huge undertaking, because we're basically looking at what everybody knows with the fitness and weight loss industry and saying, this isn't working. Let's do the opposite. And it's collectively, I mean, there's some of us doing it, but it's very overwhelming at times. But you know what? We're going to get exactly where we need to be with all this. So,
yes, we are. Daryl, my friend, where can people follow and connect with you?
So yeah, the best place to find me, I'm everywhere online, both under my name and for Your Level Fitness. So you can get all my socials. If you want everything, Daryl Perry, go to DarylPerry.com. That's DarylPerry.com. And then Your Level Fitness is just YourLevelFitness.com. And I've got all my socials on there. So Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, YouTube, they're all there.
Awesome. All the socials. And I'm assuming it's a very safe place to follow on socials. Yes.
Absolutely.
Awesome. And we'll make sure we link all this in the show notes as well. Nat, my friend, want to take us out?
Of course. Yeah. Again, thank you, Daryl, so much for joining. And I'm so glad that we have finally connected twice, just on the record, twice in a week after 7 years of great friendship. So thank you again. Reminder, if you found value in this episode, to support the podcast, help us keep the Zoom lights on, if you will, by becoming a Patreon supporter for just $5 a month. You can head to BerryNationPodcast.com. And if you would like to further your work in bariatrics and keep going along your journey with some added support, you can join us in the membership community by going to BerryNation.com or just become a member at berrynation.mn.co. Remember, at the end of the day, you've got this and we've got you.
Thanks, Daryl.
See you guys.